Let's open with prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your kindness in bringing us together again. We pray for those who are not able to be here this evening. We pray you come and meet with us. We pray that you would grant us a spirit of prayer, that you would lift us up physically and spiritually this evening. We thank you for being able to meet. We thank you for the freedom that we do have to meet. We do ask that we might see your face this evening in Christ's name. Amen. So last week we started in Psalm 84 with an overview. We have three main sections of this psalm. The first is the sight, the desire for the sight of the place where God dwells, in the first two verses. The second, which is the understanding or the spiritual sight of that place as home. And then there is essentially a praise from 8 to 12. We're going to look at the first two verses tonight. Now just let me read those two verses. How lovely is your tabernacle or your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. The first thing that we note is the beauty of that place where God is. It's not necessarily outward beauty that is in view here, but it is spiritual beauty that is seen by the believer. For the first 400 years when Israel was in the place there that we now call Israel, they did not have a temple. They only had a tent there at Shiloh. But God met his people there. Hannah went up year by year, and God met Hannah there, and the result was Samuel. So it's not the outward beauty of the circumstances, but it is the spiritual place where God meets his people. And that was the place where all of Israel went up for their feast days, was to that tent in Shiloh. It is this place where we see God most clearly, and that is the nature and the reason for this desire and for this felt and seen loveliness. In Psalm 73, the psalmist was full of envy and bitterness until, he says, until I came into the sanctuary. And so there is a sense in which the believer has this longing to be in the place where God manifests his presence. In the Old Testament, it was the tabernacle. In the New Testament, it is those places where God manifests himself in the means of grace. The people gathered, the gathered people of God, are that in so many ways, in the Old Testament and the New. And so we have this description of desire. And the second thing that we notice is that there is this sense of beauty, and then there is the going out of the heart of the believer. He says, I have this desire, he says. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. There is an expression here of intense longing. It's a great motivation for the believer to go on and to go to that place where God is. It's a place where God's people meet. Ultimately, it's not met until heaven. And of course, this psalm is a psalm of pilgrimage and of heaven. We see the ardent desire expressed here. This desire motivates all of life. Think of the lengths, if you will, that the Old Testament believers had to go to for those feast days. They, wherever they were, on the other side of Jordan, 2.5 tribes were on the other side of Jordan. They would walk, and Jerusalem is up in the mountains. They would walk to Jerusalem. So they would go to great lengths for that, and that motivation, that desire is being expressed here in this psalm. The believer has that desire for God's presence. We notice the Lord Jesus getting up a great while before it's day to spend time with the Father. That characterizes the believer in this life. He has this desire for communion with God. And we see that at the end of Psalm 73 as well, this desire. He says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire." You hear that word desire again, beside you. Psalm 73, verse 25. So we have this sight of beauty. We have this intense longing. And that is that draws the believer out in prayer. And of course, all of this is one extended prayer here in Psalm 84. It's not just a series of statements. It is a series of statements, but it's a series of statements expressing longing and made to God. "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts." It's not just a statement of fact. It's a statement of longing made toward God and in God's presence. So it is the place where prayer and desire merge. That's why there is great intensity, or you could say spiritual power here. "My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord." So prayer and desire merge here. This is heartfelt expression. And it becomes beautiful expression. The expression of the believer that has this going out now. There is some expression of communion, but there is an expression of desire for more. And now, isn't that where the believer is? I desire more. And all of this is expressed really to God and in God's presence. So this then is the desire for sustained communion. We're used to, you know, virtual anytime meeting. You know, so many jobs these days have become virtual. But even we know that they're not the same thing as face-to-face. As God spoke to Moses face-to-face. That's what we're promised, right? In heaven. Then shall we know. Then shall we see face-to-face. 1 Corinthians 13, 12. So there's an expression of sight. How lovely. Unless you see it, you can't express it. Unless you experience it to some extent, you can't express it. But the desire, the taste gives you the desire for more in greater depth and more extended time and intensity. And that is precisely what is being expressed here. And that we have in some measure here. As the Apostle says five times in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, when you come together, the meetings of the church are like the feast days in Israel, and they both prefigure the worship that is in heaven, which is face to face. And so there is in the believer there is both tasting and longing. And we express the desire for that which is both fullness here and greater fullness to come. And that's expressed for us in the time of communion that we have here. Let's close this portion in prayer.